Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. There we go. As we are starting to have some people fall in here today on a Thirsty Thursday, and you need to join them as well. I see my guy Sean out here having him a good drink. I see my guy Ross out here doing his thing as well. You can get out here and have a good time with us. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress, right off US 290, and it's always a good time on a little Thirsty Thursday. And as I've always told you, we never come empty-handed, and we're going to be hooking somebody up with a gift card to HEB coming up in this hour, but we've got a couple of big prizes. Shout out to Bud Light as well, as they're going to hook you up with your chance to win a couple of really nice lawn chairs, and I'm certain the Bud Light girls will be here soon, and they will have a good time as well.
I can't, man. I cannot land that. Even if they're going to have a good time here, man, that might think they might go and climb on it.
They'll be here soon. Come on out and hang out.
They'll be here soon, and they're going to hook your ass up with something nice, too.
They don't work either.
You just can't let it go.
But no, I can't. All right, no. But, yeah, shout out to Bud Light as they're here. But, again, if you missed it earlier, we made this announcement. We have two set of four-pack tickets to Sunday's game against the Broncos. Two sets of four-pack tickets. So you got eight tickets out here.
Wow,
you can take three of your friends out here to the game on Sunday, a rather large game on Sunday against the Denver Broncos, the biggest game of the season thus far. Two different set of four-pack of tickets that you can win. We will hook people up with that in the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is come up, see my guy Shay right there standing up. He's got the white box. He'll give you a ticket. You take a ticket, you'll have a chance to win. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. So if you're on your way and you want to get some of them tickets, you might want to walk right up here and get a ticket from Shay so you can have a chance to win. Also, I want to get an update here. Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle. Hear him many times on these airways on Sports Radio 610. He said, coming from the locker room, Nico Collins, speaking for the first time since suffering a concussion, said, quote, he's back now and ready to play this week.
Go ball out,
so,
Nico.
We've seen him in practice the last 2 days. D'Amico said that he was still at that point in the concussion protocol, but expected he would be off of that this week. And Nico Collins has spoken to the media and says he feels like he is going to be ready to go. He's back, and he will play on Sunday against the Patrick Surtain-less Denver Broncos. So yeah, that's a big deal.
That's a big get, and to hear it from the horse's mouth is refreshing. I mean, it's one of those things where the concussion protocol, part of it is you got to get back to football activities, and then they got to be able to measure, hey, what happened after just getting back to football activities with no contact, and then what happens with football activities with pads and in live action. And so it seems like he's been through and checked enough of those boxes this week to get cleared to play. At least he's been told he's going to play. And Ron, this is big. We've talked about the last couple of days. Is him being potentially back is big. Now that he's cleared, it's big. But think about he got full days of practice. You know, the busy days, which was yesterday and today, the big days, the long days, the ones that consist of a lot more introduction to the game plan, a lot more reps to the game plan. He and Christian Kirk, both guys were at practice getting reps under those circumstances. It's not just a, hey, man, we got you cleared by game time. No, they've been practicing, so it's a big plus, man.
Yeah, it is. And the guy we just heard from, Nick Cayley, this gives him his top weapon back. And let's react to a couple of things. I know a couple of things kind of caught your ears there as we heard from Nick Cayley. If you missed that, you can go back to the podcast page and listen at the 240 segment. What jumped out to you from Nick Cayley and his comments in the presser with the media?
Well, look, I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that is just unbelievably repetitive, which you get in these circumstances. I think probably the one thing that stuck out was, again, talking about the game plan offense, but just the question being asked about how do you repeat what you did well the week before? Like, how do you balance what you did well the week before and, you know, game planning for a defense? And I think Nick made a strong point of, we're always trying to be specific to the opponent. So I think that's a pretty good indicator of why, you know, certain players disappear from one game to the next. It's a good indication of why there's not an emphasis on putting the ball in Nico's hands at different levels of the offense. It's more about finding him within the offense. And so not that we didn't already know that, but that's – I think to me, every time I hear that jumps out to me, and it just – I think probably because it's something that I just wholeheartedly disagree with.
Yeah, I just – even in, as we said it earlier, even in a game plan offense, I mean, there can't be a game plan that says, like, Nico Collins isn't heavily involved in the game plan. There can't be to be a game plan that says Schultz isn't heavily involved. It'd be like on defense and say, all right, hey, man, we're just going to use Will Anderson as a decoy all day long.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to really use him to impact the game, and we're going to drop him in coverage a lot. Like, that is just odd to me, and I can understand your frustration when it comes
to that. Well, the frustrating part of it is more or less that it's you know, we've seen one guy make that approach and do it well. We've seen one guy with that approach, you know, win championships. And it's not for everybody. You know what I mean? Doing more with less. And, I mean, look, I would argue that the New England way of doing things should be called the Brady way of doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, that worked because, as I've said a million times before, the discipline to just do what Nick Cayley said of just one play at a time, stay within the offensive structure, and you know, get bored with just making the right decision, the easy decision. Nobody's ever done that better than Brady. Yeah. I mean, he did it for 20 years. I mean, it is you can argue it was his superpower, right? And so, you know, we've watched Deshaun try to run that offense, and now we're watching CJ try to run that offense. And look, I don't like, I think it is a very, very good fit for CJ. But, you know, I think CJ has a skill set to be able to do those things at an extremely high level. I just question whether the system is good enough at this point in 2025 to get it done.
Yep. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that jumped out to me, and we hadn't really talked about it because it's really kind of a little deeper thing, but he spoke about it. There was – they used a lot of Blake Fisher as the sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like, that Like, that man came onto that mic. If you were at that game, he came onto that mic, that the white hat, repeatedly. Number 57 is an eligible receiver. Number 57, it seemed like every two or three plays with the Texans, he had to announce that. And when they had the ball for 41 minutes, it seemed
it
to be
awful.
A lot. Yeah. and that seems to be an adjustment from earlier in the year. And it seemed to work for him, especially in the run game. I just for me, like the thought of, all right, man, Nick Caley came out. They looked at the offensive staff looked and said, well, here's an adjustment. This is something that we will add and make more of their game plan. Now, I wonder how much they do it again this week. It could have been just last week's game plan, as you spoke about. But to me, that seemed like that was something that worked for them to get Blake Fisher in the game and to get more beef in their run game.
Look, it's the trend in the league this year.
It is.
That everybody's doing it. And to Nick Caley's point, that they're doing it for different reasons. I mean, I think the Texans are doing it because it seems like you've lost 42 tight ends this year. And so we've got to get somebody in there that can at least help in the run game, protect the edge kind of deal. You know, I would expect that we see more of it just because, you know, you're going to want to run right at these defensive ends that Denver has. You don't want to try to get too cute with them. I would think that you'd like to have an extra tight end, an extra tackle in there, extra offensive line in there to try to control at least one side of the line of scrimmage. And so I would expect that for one reason or another, we're going to see it again. I think we saw it last week because they knew that defense in San Francisco, them edge players, they were soft and we were going to be able to get them and move them and protect. And so I think we saw that. This week, I think it's a little different. I mean, you're using to somewhat slow down that defensive front and somewhat, you know, balance the field with that defensive front that Denver has.
Yeah. He talked about CJ's discipline. Also, I thought that was – and that was something we saw on display. And I think immediately when you look at that is, all right, take what they're giving you. Take the check downs when they're not there. Don't try to force things down the field. And that was as big as you know, almost anything in this game. And they got big, big plays off of that, including 50-plus yards or almost 50 yards from Woody Marks on a play down.
Yeah, look, that part of it, I think, is the interesting one, right? Because you got to almost be willing to not even look at, you know, hey, man, it's cover two, and I think this safety's hanging on the hash a little, or the really between the hash and the numbers with in the pro game. He's hanging in there a little bit. I might be able to throw that whole shot for a good 25, 30-yard gain. Let me check it. That's the way he's always done. That's what he's always done, right? And in this offense, you want to bypass that. We're not even going to waste time on that. If you get cover two, we're going to eliminate the outside receivers. We're going to work the middle of the field. We're going to work tight end down to the back. Bam, that's it. We're going to work this little inside triangle. We're not even going to get hung up and think about this stuff outside. Whereas your more aggressive teams, boy, you let a safety hang inside, they're going to try to throw that whole shot 10 out of 10 times. And what they're asking CJ to do is be to the extreme of don't even think about it. Eliminate it before you even snap the football. And that's one thing last week that I thought CJ did well. We'll see if it transitions over to this week. I thought he did a really good job of coming to the line of scrimmage and going, okay, I hadn't snapped the ball yet, and I don't like the fact that you're shading a safety over the top, a cornerback's down, and this linebacker slid a little bit wider. I know that's going to be muddy. Let me snap the football and start at three instead of starting at one and working all the way to three. Let me just start at three, and then I can get the ball out to quicker to five if I need to. And so I thought he did like that's the kind of stuff that – like Brady was just an absolute, I mean, wizard with that stuff. And, you know, can CJ commit to it? It's not a question whether he can make the throws or can he process at that level. It has nothing to do with either one of those. He has shown the ability to do all of the above. The question is can he commit to just playing that boring
brand
for 18 weeks in a season and hopefully beyond? You know, that is
– And can he still do it when the pressure is different?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after getting your ass kicked the whole first half, you come out in the second half, you're down 10 or you're down 13 – do you come out and throw four straight go routes, or do you come out and stay committed to it and chip away? And the next thing you know, it's a 3-point game, and you can win it. You can tie it up and then win it in overtime. That's the challenge for CJ. It's not physically, is he gifted enough? It's not mentally, can he process? It's none of that. It's a commitment thing, and I mean, it's just It's a big if.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue here, to me, I think the matchup of this game and where the game is going to be decided, the Broncos reporter and actually host, he hosts afternoons, we heard him on with In the Loop. He really spoke to it, a guy who watches them and has watched every one of their games and covered them for years. I think, to me, where the game for the Texans will be decided, you got to hear what he had to say, because I think it gives you a lot of understanding of why this is so important. We'll do
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start. Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin, or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
They're coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As we are live here, I'm seeing the wings flowing. I'm seeing the beers and the drinks flowing around here. I love it. It's a good time. I see the Bud Light girl here. There she go, and she has introduced herself to several of you. And you guys have gotten a solid gift from her as well. And you can get a solid gift as well if you're on your way on out here. So make your way on out here for many, many, many reasons, including prizes. Congratulations to our first winner. We still have multiple things to hook people up with, including in the 5 o'clock hour, not one, but four pack tickets to the game on Sunday versus the Broncos. You can be in the building with three of your other friends to win this thing. So stay tuned, hang out with us. And all you got to do that is put your name in, or put your ticket in a raffle box. Shay has got that for you right there. Put you in a raffle box, give you a chance to win tickets and much, much more. All right, Clint, I was listening to In the Loop yesterday. Zach By. Zach's a good dude. Met Zach in the industry, and I've had conversations with Zach a few times. He's been in Denver for a while. He does afternoons. He's on right now. He talked about what I think to me, Clint, is the game. I know we'll talk about matchups more tomorrow as we get closer to it, but this to me is the thing for the Texans that scares the hell out of me in this game. This is the number one thing. Here is Zach By, who does afternoons in Denver, talking about that front four.
Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator here, when he believes that he's got a matchup of strength, He will not send pressure. So when you look at the Broncos up front, which is really the strength of the entire football team, as good as their secondary is and their safeties and some of their members on offense, the strength is the front seven. And when you have a guy like Zach Allen, keep that name in your back pocket. A big 99 in the middle, led the NFL in quarterback hit a year ago, led the NFL in quarterback pressures from the D tackle position a year ago, coming off a game where he sacked the quarterback again. It starts with him, the push in the middle. And then you have these two edge rushers in Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito, who are just absolute freaks when it comes to get off. I think they're number one and number two in the NFL in terms of their, you know, pass rush win rate and their get off. Nick Benito, if you guys haven't had a chance to look at him, 8 sacks in 8 games, had 13.5 sacks a year ago. He's fantastic. He's going to be up for Defensive Player of the Year. These guys really get after the quarterback, and because they're both elite at their position, both double-digit sack guys a year ago, the number one duo in that department, you can't really send as much help when you're getting it from both sides of the defense and also getting that push from the middle.
He talked about it. He went through the whole bunch of their front, and to me, Clint, that's to me where the game is going to be decided. It is by far the number one thing that concerns me. And I've said this week, and we will obviously do our predictions tomorrow. Clearly, if you all remember last week, I was the only one who selected the Texans to win the game. And, of course, they did. But I believe the Texans can definitely win this game on Sunday. But, Clint, when you look at Ursary in particular – and the things that he has struggled with is in particular speed coming off the edge, as he talked about Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper, they get off the ball and they are speed rushers and they get around the corner and they've got the bend and the dip and they create pressure, not just sacks, they get sacks. Nick's got 8 sacks in 8 games. But that, to me, especially what we watch, they're like any other front, and we watch the Rams and the Seahawks give them problems. I think the Broncos are those teams. They run a very similar system, but they're those teams on steroids. And it is, to me, the major concern to me, because if they can block them, I think they got a chance. But they lead the league in sacks and pressures by a mile. And they got multiple guys that, to me, do things that are struggles for some of the offensive linemen for the Texans. It is a major concern.
Well, the whole thing is what the offensive line for the Texans struggles with. But here's the kicker, right, is there's nothing you can do about that interior presence that Zach Baier was talking about. There's nothing you can do. You can't. There's absolutely nothing you can do to keep him from getting one-on-ones. You heard what did D'Amico say earlier in the week? They gonna run 5 down. You know why they run 5 down? That means you can't double team, and that means that they're by design they're gonna get 1-on-1s, and they know that you can't play 1-on-1 with all the guys they got. They're that good up front, right? And you can't win. So you're gonna see a lot of that. Now this is one of those games where I think you got to use that sixth offensive lineman in the game and try to establish a run. You got to use that sixth offensive lineman in the game and work your boot game and work your quick game.
Is this a lot of max protect to you in this game?
Well, look, when you talk about max protect, for me, that means we're keeping 8 in and we're they don't really have the option to get out unless it's a late leak.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to do that. I think it's a help week for me. I mean, you've got to eliminate the free runner in the A gap, and you got to eliminate the speed rusher turning the corner, as you were pointing out.
Yeah, Nick Benito, he really concerns me this week with Ursary.
Well, you look at the number one problem is the crowd of the line of scrimmage and them getting A gap free A gap runners. You got a 4-4, 4-5 guy chasing CJ, and he's got the shortest distance from point A to point B is any defender on the field. Can't have that. Got to fix that. The other thing is what you're talking about is we've got to figure out a way, right, to slow those edge rushers down, and the way that you do that is you just got to dedicate a tight end. Whether that's Blake Fisher or a real tight end, and it's got to be. I wasn't joking a month ago when I said I would if I were D'Amico Ryans, I'd go to practice and I'd say, hey, we're going to do chip drills all day long. And if you don't want to do it, take your ass to the locker room. You ain't going to play for me this week. This is one of those games where if you just think you're going to tiptoe up there and chip somebody, like if you don't go in there with the intentions of tearing up somebody's ribs, then it's a waste of time. They've got to have a heavy dose of chip. I don't know that I would go as far as Dan Orlovsky. I've heard him say before, I wouldn't snap the ball once without giving help to Ariante Erstery on that left side. I don't know that I'd go there, but it's got to be a heavy dose.
Yeah.
It's got to be a heavy dose.
And you got to be prepared that in this game you may have to. I mean, you got to be prepared and not just say, all right, he'll get it together. That's why also I think you brought some good things there about how do you slow these jokers down. And I think running the football with some level of success is a big part of this. Last sure. week, they ran the football really, really well, and I think that was a big part of it, both Woody and Nick Chubb, to at least slow these guys down. And you gotta be able to do that. When we look at them against the Seahawks, they weren't really able to do that at yeah. all, and those guys could just tee off and get pressure
well,
throughout.
And that was such a, again, the tackles and the tight ends running those pick games, right? I mean, that
yep.
there's not a – you can't chip with a tight end to help that.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that there's a whole hell of a lot you can do schematically. When a team is really good at that, at disguising it and then coming off of it, then you're going to struggle with it. To me, the only way that you stop that, not to get too far off in the weeds – But to me, when you get a team that likes to TE stun a lot, your offensive line has to be more firm, right? The deeper that you and I get and the further apart we get, the easier it is for somebody to pick me
yeah.
and beat you, right? If you and I stay at the line of scrimmage longer, not you don't stay there, obviously you got to pass that some, but if we stay flush on the line of scrimmage, it's hard for your guy to pick me without you to see it coming, right? The further we get apart, now we're blindsided by it. So I think that's the only way to defend – or to counterpunch any kind of TE stunts, which is what Seattle did a lot. This one is more. You got to squeeze them A gaps, and you got to chip on the ends. That is the key here.
Yeah.
Unless they've got a tipper. If somebody over there is tipping, or if you have some kind of mechanism in your offense where you can the old Peyton Manning stuff, where you got the dummy counter, you raise your leg, and you're going to snap the ball or on my third leg instead of my first. Kind of whoa. Not my third. Don't snap it on my third. Don't snap it on
all
the
right,
third
Greg,
leg
all
now.
Right, Greg Olson. All right, Greg Olson.
Boy, hey, I wish I could say I did that on purpose.
He
you know what I'm talking
rolling
about.
When he got – let's step out of here. Coming up next, we will not be discussing a third leg.
Oh, third leg.
Here at Buffalo Wild Wings. I got to say, I'm watching the World Series, and I got to tell you, I am really appreciative of the Astros. I really am. They do something that if you're an Astros fan, you got to feel great about it while you're watching what we're watching the last couple of days. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There we go, as we are live here on a Thirsty Thursday. Make your way on out here as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. We do it every single week. We come out to a Buffalo Wild Wings each and every week, and we never come empty-handed. As I see some people who are in the building who look like, who the hell are those two guys sitting up there? I appreciate it. I see a tall beer over there, so go ahead and do your thing. We don't come empty-handed. If you want a chance to win prizes, we're going to hook somebody up with a couple of Bud Light folding little chairs, man. They're very comfortable.
Those would be Bud Light lawn chairs, right?
Well,
there the old school webbed lawn yeah. chairs, which are the best, by the way. If you're old enough to remember those, you have a great appreciation for them. Your parents definitely did.
They got the backpack thing where you can carry them like that.
Yeah,
is it two of them? Right?
Big Earn didn't have that backpack strap. All his had a couple cigarette. He had a couple cigarette burns in his too. But
there
they
you
were.
Go.
They were. That was it right there. That's old school. Take you back, man.
It's a pair there. You get two of them. So we're going to hook somebody up with that after this segment. But
Shay,
calm down.
You better not do that, man. You're setting yourself up down there with them short legs you got.
Yeah. but jump on in here for your chance to win. Also, in the 5 o'clock hour, you got a chance to win not one, we're hooking somebody up with two set of four-pack tickets to the Broncos game on Sunday. Two sets of four-pack tickets to the Bronco game. So you can take three of your other friends. All you got to do is grab a ticket, put it in our raffle box, be here in the 5 o'clock hour, and you got a chance. There you go. You got a chance to win four tickets to the Texans game.
You got to be here to win.
You got to be here to win. I didn't think that guy was going to continue to sit there after that was given out. Get yourself a ticket. You and your lady, she can get one. You got a chance to win. Two chances to win four pack of tickets. We'll be doing that in the 5 o'clock hour. So if you're on your way out here, you may want to jump in on that. Clint, by the way, I'm watching the World Series last night.
Yeah,
and I've told Tyler this, and I really, for multiple reasons, I'm really thankful for the Astros. I am glad, unless I am wrong, Tyler, you let me know, Clint, you let me know. I don't believe I am. I am glad that the Astros, they hit home runs, and they don't go into the theatrics in the clubhouse of we're going to grab a sword or we're going to grab some sort of a helmet thing that we're going to wear or we're going to grab – what is it in Boston? They got that big ass green thing that they throw on Bregman's face on his head. That it looks like the
stupid ass trident for the Mariners.
That stupid thing the Mariners do. It looks like the Red Sox grab the mascot's head and they throw it on.
I don't know.
I mean,
that
all these teams, do these stupid things. I admire that the Astros. I mean, they just celebrate in there, and they hit their home runs. But, Clint, the Blue Jays is the worst.
Oh, dude, I'm so with you on this.
They've got that stupid-ass, ugly jacket that they put on people. And you got it. And Vlad is wearing it out. I mean, shout out to Vlad, who hit another one. But they, first off, that thing's got to be sweaty as hell. When they went back-to-back, there's no way they could have Febreze that or anything quick enough because Vlad had to throw it on. And the part that really pisses me off about it, I don't know if you've watched the catcher. You will never be able to unwatch him. But I don't know if you've watched the catcher for the Blue Jays, Alejandro Kurt. This guy's body type.
He's a little fella. He could use that chair down there easier than most.
He's shorter than me, and that's – shut up. But he's shorter than me and about as wide as me. And his
– Tony Eusebio-esque.
Hey man, he looks like he's hunting down a 44-28 is what he looks like. He's hunting down. I mean, he's got to have his stuff tailored the other way.
Hold
but you
on,
know
so.
What, Clint? I've watched him hit home runs. That jacket don't fit him. They didn't try to throw it on his arm, and it gets just on one arm, and then he can't
get it.
So he don't
him,
even
huh?
get to participate in the damn thing. So if you go get the jacket, at least get one that's one size fits all. And if Kirk is the biggest dude on the team, you got to get a jacket that fits his. It can't just fit Springer and Miles Straw, and then Kirk don't get to participate. And now he knows we're on national TV, and now he's thinking about size all the time. He's thinking not rounding the bases to celebrate. He's thinking, damn it, I got to try to stick this jacket on. I'm going to be Chris Farley, fat guy in a little coat. And then he didn't even try to put it on. They got it on his arm. He's get this damn thing off him. They should have multiple sizes in that ugly ass jacket.
Sounds like you're speaking from experience.
I'm just saying. If I were him, I'd burn the damn thing. I'd have scissors. I would be waiting to hit a home run.
Just throw it over your shoulder.
And I'd have some shears or some scissors. And I get the thing and I cut the damn thing off. No, we're gonna come up with a celebration that all of our asses can use.
Well, I think you should just throw it over your shoulder and pimp that.
I think they went over there and said, "Here, Vlad, can you fit it?" Bet. All right, that's enough. And now Kurt,
medium.
And now Kurt can't get his arm in there. Oh, I feel so bad for him. I really do. I really do, man. I can see the look in his eyes. It's like when you go into that dressing room and you just don't even want to come out. You're just looking at it from here. You don't want to come out and let her see it.
Just, a little too snug, huh?
It ain't that. And then you come out. What happened to it? That didn't work. Oh, it didn't? You didn't let me see it. No, you don't need to. It didn't work. No, man. I appreciate the Astros not coming up with no more silly stuff like that. I feel bad for him, Kirk. Every time I see him, I saw him hit that last home run. I saw him rounding the bases. All I could think, I could see in his eyes was, try to put this damn jacket on. This damn thing going to go fit, man. I'm with you. Hey, shout out, Clint, as we're out here, Buffalo Wild Wings. I have tried to get, we go to our ups and downs. I try to get back into the, I'm back into the phase of let's get my body right. Let's get us back together. I did leg day. I'm over here struggling, man.
Oh, that bar top stool is giving you fits, huh? Getting up and down.
Anytime I'm getting, I'm in that space, and many of you have done this where you hit the leg day and you did squats for the first time or lunges. I did the squats and lunges together for the first time in a while. I could barely sit on the toilet this morning. I had to use my arms against the wall, the sidewalls, to help me down because I just could not get into a squatted position.
Let's talk about it. What did you do yesterday?
I did four sets of air squats first. Then I did lunges, and then I just did like 225 squats.
You ain't done a damn thing in a hot minute, and you're going to throw 225 on your back. You should have stopped with them little air squats.
I feel like it was the lunges.
Get you a week's worth of air squats and lunges before you put weight on your back.
Oh, my God, man.
Well, I bet you put weight on your back, and I bet you went about a quarter of the way down, too. I bet you didn't go all the way. Just enough to make you good and sore.
No, I went. I tried to go. Yeah, I was motivated in there, so I tried to go. Man, I am hurting, Jack. Every time I get up, I just feel like these thighs are just, whew. And I know I got to attack it again, to kind of get this thing used to it. But, boy, that joint is that hurts big time. I'm fighting it. And by the way, when I get into these spaces, Clint, I always get so mad at myself.
For what?
When I get to eating, trying to eat better, because it'd be good. Like it'd be good, but I just and I get mad at myself. Like, man, I had a nice little omelet yesterday with some bell peppers, some mushrooms, and just a little bit of cheese in there. And it was delicious. And I'm thinking to myself, why do I have to get that biscuits and gravy and that extra biscuit those two eggs?
I was just fixing to ask what is the alternative. And if that's it, man, you're going straight biscuits and gravy. I feel you, man.
Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to swing by McDonald's and get two of those and then get that second hash brown? Because
I'm disappointed in you.
I break the first one in on top of my sandwich.
I'm disappointed in you because that is, I mean, it's one thing if you – we've had enough conversations over the years about, trying to lose a little bit of weight, being a little healthier and all that. I mean, for you to go from one extreme and the other extreme is – like, because I go from one extreme to another, but I don't ever reach the hell with it. I'm going biscuits and gravy and McDonald's this morning.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, hell.
No, you can't do it.
Come on, man.
You got to stop, man. It's one. This is where I go wrong right here. Can I get another one of these right here, fully dressed?
No, man, shoot. Tyler, man, ride past that McDonald's breakfast, boy, they'll get you.
It'll get you every time.
It's so quick, boy, man. It's so quick, so easy. Hey.
I don't think I've had fast food breakfast in over a year.
Those McGriddles, man.
Boy, those
not
are
bad. Good. I could just easily run in there. Hey, man, let me grab two of them them sausage McMuffin.
Oh, I'll tell you where I'll go. I will do the Starbucks. Those egg bites.
I've heard of those are good. But that ain't the same ballpark, man.
Well, I'm just telling you. I mean, I'm just telling you. I just feel like I have robbed somebody blind if I go eat.
Yeah, I don't feel bad, but I do get mad. Like I had some oats with some almond butter. It was delicious, and I just said, why don't I just eat this?
Why don't
this
you do it
good.
Every morning? Why do
it's
you?
It's good. Why?
It's a good question. You want me to start reminding you of it?
No, I got it now. But at least for now. I got it now.
This week?
I got it now. We got a bill.
Circle back Monday.
What you got coming up?
All right, the Rockets had a win last night, Ron, and I'm going to tell you, I know we're just a few games into the season, but I really like what I'm seeing with these Rockets. And then we heard from Nick Caley, the Texans' offensive coordinator. Let's hear a little bit about this game plan offense, and hell, I'm going to tell you what don't need to be game plan. Two things don't need to be game plan. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.